I'm Susie Larson. Thanks for listening to this podcast from Susie Larson Live.
It's only just a matter of.
Welcome to Susie Larson Live. Always honored to get to spend this time with you. In fact, I look forward to bringing you conversations every single day that hopefully inspire you in your faith walk, that deepen your understanding of God's Word, and that heightens your awareness of His very real presence in your life. So here's a question for you. What's the most encouraging thing someone has said to you, even recently, if not in your whole life? Did they see greatness in you? Maybe they believed you could accomplish something you never thought you could. Did they make God's love more tangible to you? Well, we have the power to change a person's life with our words, and not just positive words, biblical, life-giving words. I'm so thrilled to welcome back our friend, Pastor Alan Wright, to talk about his book, The Power to Bless, How to Speak Life and Empower the People You Love. Every time I have him on, I'm just encouraged, immobilized, and inspired to speak God's love and His word to people in need. And so I have a challenge for you. I have an assignment for you. I was telling him before the show, just in prepping, my heart just started to fill up so much, and I felt so challenged and inspired that I texted each of my grown sons a blessing. And this is what I texted to one of them. Son, I'm prepping for today's show. It's about blessing others. I have to say, my dear son, that you are a natural-born leader. You're humble and you're strong. And you're hilariously funny. You are kind and thoughtful and considerate in ways that most never notice. You have a perfect blend of humility and confidence, and you're a delight to be around. You're a gift to our family. I couldn't love you more if I tried. So here is my challenge to you, assignment. Are you ready? I pray you'll accept it. I want you to pick up your phone sometime in the next couple hours and text someone a blessing. Text them a blessing. They'll be blown away. I'm going to get Pastor Alan Wright on in just a moment. A couple quick announcements. I love when we're doing these summer bundle giveaways. We've got this stack of books, some novels, some nonfiction. All you got to do to register to win is go to myfaithradio.com. And then also next Thursday night, July 29th, what month am I in? 7 p.m. Central Standard Time. I want you to mark your calendars. Next Thursday night, I'm doing a live stream event with Mark Batterson, and we're doing a bunch of fun giveaways. The theme of the night is Dream Big, Start Small. That will be great. If you need more information at your fingertips, you can just text the word event to 877-933-2484. We've got 5 copies of this incredible book to give away today in today's show, The Power to Bless, How to Speak Life and Empower the People You Love. Let me tell you about my guest. We'll get him on the show. Alan Wright is lead pastor of Renolda Church in North Carolina. He's the author of several books. He's a popular conference speaker. He's the host of a daily 30-minute radio program syndicated on, listen to this, more than 400 radio stations, where he encourages listeners through the good news of the gospel. I would say he's one of God's great gifts to the body of Christ. Pastor Alan, welcome back.
Susie, thank you so much. What a delight. I just look forward to talking to you, and it's an honor to be with you.
Thank you so much. Well, you know this. You've been on a few times. We love to start by talking scripture. I'm wondering what passage maybe you're hanging around or pondering these days.
Well, interestingly, here as we are emerging from this long, tough year of pandemic and all, I have been drawn into a place I don't usually dare trod that much, the book of Revelation. Mm-hmm. And Susie, my soul has been thrilled in ways that has not been thrilled before. And I think it's because I've hearkened to the opening line of that epistle, that prophetic word, that apocalypse, the revelation of Jesus Christ. You know, we have got so many different views of end times and revelation, but if we could understand that God gave John on the Isle of Patmos a revelation of Jesus Christ that would be for first century Christians and for us, then it begins just opening. I've just been on a wide-eyed quest every page of this mysterious book to say, I want to see Jesus. And I came, Judy, to this chapter 4, Susie, that was, I thought, I just want to just spend some time on this revelation of Jesus in chapter 4 and 5 of Revelation. Wow. But something really caught my attention at verse 1. After this I looked, John writes, and behold, a door standing open in heaven. And that's good news just right there, that the door to heaven is open. It's not a secret. God's not hidden. His ways and his wonder is not veiled. It's been opened up to us. And the first voice, which I heard speaking to me like a trumpet. So however, in the mystery of this dreamlike revelation, the voice sounds almost like a trumpet with beauty and clarion call, like a trumpet said, come up here. And that, Susie, is my heart's greatest longing. And I think, what an invitation from God. Come up here. Come out of the ordinary. Come out of the mundane. Come out of just looking at your problems. Come out of just seeing the persecution. Come out of just your eyes fixed on the sufferings of the world under Emperor Domitian or under the problems of pandemic or whatever it is that you're going through. And just take this moment now, God saying, I invite you, just come up here into the throne room of grace and let me show you. Let me show you some wonder. Let me show you Jesus. And, I've been talking to our worship teams and I'm saying, guys, this is the invitation. It's not The invitation is not let's go home from church and say we had good music or even that we had good preaching, but say we heard the Lord say, come up here into the throne room and visit with me and see transcendent and beautiful things. And, you know, we're transformed by a vision of Jesus, and we're transformed by wonder. We're transformed by glory. The apocalypse of Jesus Christ, the revelation of Jesus Christ. That's what that book's all about.
Absolutely amazing. A while back, my hubby was reading about how Moses and 72 leaders went up the mountain and had, you know, dinner before the Most High God. And some of the description talked about the ground being made of lapis lazuli, if I remember that right. But he, believe it or not, my big construction manager husband went on Etsy and found a chunk of lapis lazuli. He's like, you're never going to find me on Etsy otherwise, but he went in searching and he found it. But he keeps this chunk of lapis lazuli in his quiet time corner just to remember the glory of God. He said, we forget about the glory. And he said, I just want to remember it every time I sit with God. And I just think that's so beautiful. Wow, thank you for sharing.
I think sometimes that we forget that simply beholding breathtaking glory and beauty is not only a delight, but is transformational.
Yeah.
And, you know, we don't go and stand and look at the Grand Canyon so we can, you know, analyze it. You go just to why? Because it's something about having your jaw drop, about your breath being taken away that is in and of itself, it's transformational. How much more so the vision of the living Lord Jesus?
Amen. Wow. Somebody's got to give me an amen. Somebody text me an amen. So, Pastor, for those who missed our previous conversations, just for context sake, would you tell us how you came to maybe understand the power and the importance of blessing?
Well, Susie, I grew up in a home that in the early years I would have not known there was a thing wrong. It looked perfect from the outside. My dad was a TV newsman, famous in our city, and many, many things so noble about him. My mom, like all the rest in the neighborhood, was at home with us kids, and I had two older brothers. And my world really got shattered when I was in fourth grade and dad left home. And I really came to understand that part of what had besieged our household was Dad's struggle with alcohol. And he wasn't around. He wasn't around in the moments that were most formative for me and my mom, who met the Lord and led us to Christ. Praise God. And yet there was something missing. And I wouldn't have known it. I wouldn't have thought it. But I spent a lot of years of my life craving, searching for, and trying to fill in the gaps of the blessing that I'd never known. And when many years ago, I began to notice this mysterious theme that runs all throughout the narrative of the scripture that you see it. You see God in the beginning blessing Adam and Eve. What is that? And then he says, be fruitful and multiply. And he says to Abram, I bless you that you will be a blessing. And then you watch the patriarchs of Israel craving and yearning this blessing that gets spoken over their lives. It's seen as this like a sense of mystical impartation that everyone wants so desperately. And I follow this theme through and see that Jesus' own life begins with Simeon, who blesses him, and people all everywhere want Jesus to lay his hands on their children and bless them. And so I was intrigued by it. And I began to study blessing. And as I began to learn about the power of blessing, I realized I'd missed it and I wasn't practicing it. And I began to want more than anything else to have blessing come out of my life, out of my mouth, and change people around me and change my own life. So I began learning about it, Susan, began putting it in practice. And I would say that other than prayer and just the direct experience of God's Spirit in my life, the power of blessing has been the single greatest force of change in my life and in others that are around me, in my own family, my wife, my kids, and those amongst whom I minister. And so it's been it's my life story in many ways. So writing the book is a message that has been growing in me, I would say, all of my life. And I feel like the more I learn, the more that I know there is to learn, and it's so exciting.
It's so true. And you've got some pretty significant endorsers who are friends who've all said, who have known you a long time, this is you. This is how you live, and it's how you breathe and how you speak. And we've had you on enough times to know that's absolutely true. So it's such a joy and honor to learn about blessing. When we come back, I'd have you just unpack the problem of an unblessed life. And friends, I want you to hang on, because toward the end of the show, Pastor Allen is going to speak out. I haven't asked him to, but he's so kind, I'm quite sure he's going to do what I say. I'm going to ask him to speak out a blessing over women, over men, and especially over an elderly woman who doesn't know who she is, and I want her to know who she is. So we're going to have Pastor speak out some blessings at the end of the show. If you've got questions about how to walk in a blessing, how to know and be assured of your identity and your spiritual adoption, send them in. We've got 5 copies of this book. Every time I open it, I feel joyful, I feel happy, and I feel inspired to be super generous. I just love it. The Power to Bless, How to Speak Life and Empower the People You Love. Got 5 copies. Text the word book to 877-933-2484. Don't forget your assignment. I pray you'll join me. You got to text somebody and give them a heartfelt blessing. It'll change their day, maybe their life. We'll be back in a minute. Lord, thanks so much for tuning into Susie Larson Live, having a great conversation with Pastor Allen Wright. We're going to try to just get him on somewhat of a regular basis as it works with his schedule. He's the author of the book, The Power to Bless, How to Speak Life and Empower the People You Love. And if you just tuned in, I've got an assignment for you. I'm asking in the next couple hours, text a blessing to someone. And before we get into just even the practical way of doing that and even a little more biblical background, you outline the problem of an unblessed life. And I'll just read these quickly. Shame, pretense, loneliness, drift, and relationship problems. Talk, if you would, about the problem of the unblessed life.
Well, we're designed for blessing. You could think of it like the fuel that we're meant to run on. You think of if we don't have it, we're like an automobile that has no gas. We're like a physical body that had no bread. We're made for this. God blessed Adam and Eve, and that's then from then he said, "Be fruitful and multiply." Affirmed who they were. So our yearning for blessing is not a sign of our weakness. It's a sign of our godliness, of how we are made in His own image and by His design. But in this world, and it's just part of the nature of sin, we get deceived. We get mixed up in parents and coaches and teachers and authority figures and the people from whom we most need affirmation, blessing, and a positive vision of our lives. They're prone to withhold it for a variety of reasons. Sometimes it's because they weren't blessed and they don't have it to give. But oftentimes it's this old thought of like, if I really affirm him too much, it's going to go to his head and he's going to quit trying. And what happens when that blessing gets withheld from a child? The child is unable to process, why am I not being affirmed? Why am I, the child doesn't have the capacity to say, well, you know, maybe mom missed out on the blessing from her own dad, and maybe she's got some issues she'll work out with her therapist later. That's not going on in a child's mind. What's happening is the soul's being formed. The brain's being formed. The soul is being formed. Outlook, identity, all of that's being formed. And that's why when you're pouring blessing in, I just want to say to all the parents especially, you pour that blessing in, it is actually helping to form who a person's going to be. It's affirming the deep truth. But when it's withheld, it's like withholding the very nourishment that is needed. I remember years ago, Susie, I just participated in an outreach event our church was hosting at one of the local homeless shelters, and I just went to encourage people and to be part of the prayer team. There was health screening and food and clothes getaway, but I was over praying with people, and a man named Johnny came over and told me his story. He's homeless. And he said that when he was a young man, he was a mechanic. And he said that he got to where he was making pretty good money, but his dad never affirmed him about it. And in fact, his dad would always point out how the fact that he, the dad, was making more money than the son. And so it began a little competition. Yeah. And so the son said, I just thought if I could make more money, then dad would be proud of me. And maybe if I could make more than him. And he said, I actually got better and I got a bigger job at the repair shop and I was making more. And I told my dad, and he told me, well, he was still making even more than me. And I still had no affirmation. And he said, and somewhere in there, in my craving to make more money, he said, I got up with the wrong friends who showed me how easily I could make money by selling drugs. And so I did. And he went to prison. And he'd been in prison for about 7 years, and he'd come out. He'd never spoken to his dad. His dad had never spoken to him, and he had no place to live, and he wanted prayer.
Wow.
Well, if you wonder what happens, see, I don't think that dad was wanting his child to go to prison. I don't think that dad was wanting his child to fail. I think he actually probably wanted his child to excel in some way and thought that by withholding the blessing, I'm somehow encouraging him. I'm somehow going to make him try harder. Well, if you withhold love and acceptance, if you withhold blessing, you might get somebody to try harder for a little while, but it's going to work a painful wound into their soul that's going to end up being used by the devil in the end. And so what happens when we don't have that blessing is there's something that happens in us that we feel like, what is wrong with me? And what do I need to do to measure up? What has somebody got to do around here to be blessed? And if you feel that way, there's a word for that. It's shame. And when you feel shame, it's a horrible feeling, and you don't want to feel that way. Feel like I'm flawed, and therefore I'm less loved. And if you feel like you're less loved because you're flawed, then what do? You hide. You start pretending. You start trying to be somebody you're not. You try to show your best side and never authentically share who you really are with anyone. I think I did a lot of that, Susie. I think I was like, you know, I'm going to be more loved if I don't show my flaws. And if you keep on going that way, then you're really lonely. And because there is no, just being around people doesn't make you less lonely. It's authentic sharing. It's walking in the light with others that gives us true koinonia. It is the fellowship that comes when we can be honest without fear of rejection. And that loneliness can just and isolate us inwardly and emotionally. And it's grueling and it's painful to a lonely soul. And when there's no one of genuine love and higher perspective and wonderful loving authority that can look at our lives and say, here's a virtue that I see in you. Here's who you can be. Here's how I see God has made you. Here's what I believe can happen in your life. If you don't have that, then you're just going to likely go along and drift through life wondering, why am I here? And I think we see a lot of this in today's generation of young people having a real hard time getting started onto their pathway, wondering, what am I supposed to be doing? Who am I supposed to be? Drift, just winding up, years go by. And almost everybody that has had the blessing withheld winds up with difficulty in relationship, because if it's hard to be honest, and it's hard to know when you can be real, and you haven't had blessing modeled in your life, it becomes really, really difficult to relate to other people. And so shame that leads to pretense, that leads to loneliness and a lack of direction, that leads to a lot of drift in our lives. We're not living out the destiny God has for us. And then what we need most, these meaningful relationships get distracted. All of this and much more comes when the blessing is withheld.
I appreciate the way you laid that out so much. And I'm thinking of a scenario that would make it especially hard to lay hold of a blessing or make it believable, because let's say you've got somebody, a grown man now, who had a very godly parent who was generous and humble and it was in the Word, but withheld the blessing because he didn't want his son to become proud. So the son sees him as the picture of godliness, but his soul is shriveled because the father wasn't generous with blessing because he had a wrong view of what humility is. What would you say to that person?
Yes. Humility is not thinking less of yourself. It's thinking of yourself less. And what actually get worked into the soul that was unblessed is there was no deep security. So it leaves the soul, the ego, hurting and thinking about self a lot. So beginning with this, that if you've missed it because a dad, a parent, an authority didn't want it to go to your head, it has to start with this. It did for me too. It is not pride to agree with God's word about how splendidly he has made me.
Okay, you got to stop and say that again. Oh, my goodness. We're almost ready to go to break. It is not pride. Say that one more time, if you would.
It is not pride to agree with how splendidly God has made me. We do God no honor by disdaining the life and the destiny that he has given to us, having made us in his own image. We honor him most. And we are therefore, in a real sense, most humble and most worshipful when we accept and bless the soul, our own lives that he has made. And so I had to repent, Susie, of any thought of, oh, my job is to go around and put myself down so that I don't get prideful. No, just the opposite. The more that you know that you are made in the image of God and created for a wonderful destiny, the more you can worship him and forget yourself. And that is the difference in self-love versus self-absorption.
That is just so powerful. So I'm thinking of, if you're listening today and that scenario was yours, where you had a godly father, so it's been so hard to reconcile while your soul feels so shriveled, he only represented in part God's heart, because God's heart is lavish. And as Pastor said, it's not pride to agree with the magnificent way that God made you. When we come back, Joseph asks this question. Hello, Susie and Pastor Ellen. Wondering if he could differentiate between speaking a word of blessing and the word of name it, claim it. So we're not talking prosperity gospel here, but I'll have Pastor make the distinction. If you've got other questions, want to hear them for sure, we've got a handful of copies of this great book. Just text the word book to 877-933-2484. The title is The Power to Bless. And we will be back in a minute. Thanks so much for tuning into Susie Larson Live, talking to our friend, author, and pastor, Alan Wright. His book, beautiful book, The Power to Bless, How to Speak Life and Empower the People You Love. And Joseph had a question. He says, how do you differentiate between speaking a word of blessing and kind of the name it, claim it idea?
That's such a great question. Thank you. The fundamental problem with any excess of what is labeled name it, claim it, is that it lends itself towards something that feels like magic, as if I can contrive what I want something to be, and if I just use words as if they're magic, as almost like it's an incantation, and I say it in the right way, or I do it in the right way, or I follow a formula in the right way, then I get the result that I want. The problem of looking at God as if he is, you know, some vending machine and we put in the right thing and we get what we want out of it transactionally. And so we've seen, and people have been hurt by that. I think of people in my own life, dear, dear friends. I was just thinking during the break of my dear, dear friend. He was older than I in many ways. He brought joy into my life by teaching me how to play golf. And he spent most of his life working for a trucking company where he suffered a bad injury and a settlement that went on in a legal dispute for years. He thought that he was going to prosper out of it greatly, and he had been essentially naming it and claiming it, and it didn't come to pass, and he didn't win the case. And there he was with his pain in his back and an empty bank account, and I'll never forget the day, Susie, he looked at me and he said, "None of it's true, Alan." And he had just filled himself so much with, I think what the caller is saying, the problem of a name it, claim it ideology is I've got an idea of the result that I want, and if I just say it long enough, then it's going to come to pass. And so there's excess to that. But what blessing is, and this is why it's so powerful, it is the wedding of the power of words and the power of faith and the power of sowing and reaping, all of which are God's design. You put all that together, and you put it with authentic discernment of the truth. So what blessing is, it is an affirmation in both grace and truth of who someone really is. Like, Susie, when you were saying at the beginning of the show, the beautiful blessing, like you wrote to one of your sons, well, what you're speaking is truth that then resonates with your child because this is who they are. It would not have been a blessing as much as I craved it from my dad. It would not have been a blessing when I was playing peewee football as a kid if he had told me, "I think you're going to be a great NFL player one day, Alan," because I was a little guy and other people started getting bigger. And by the time I was in the midget league, I was getting crushed out there. It's a good thing he didn't bless me and say, "I could see you being a great NFL football player." I'd have wound up being perfectly, probably maimed for life. No. Real blessing is authentic in its discernment of who someone is. So encouragement itself doesn't mean that you make someone valuable. It's more like if you knew someone who had oil deposits in their backyard and you just were able to point it out to them and they found it and drilled and became wealthy, you didn't make them wealthy. You just pointed out the wealth that was there. So blessing is not magic, but it has the principles of the importance of our words. And I think that's the thing that I've learned so much from my Pentecostal friends about understanding the power. A word fitly spoken like apples of gold in a setting of silver, soft answer turns away wrath. Over and over and over, we read death and life are in the power of the tongue. And that's a real truth. And so that's part of what we're doing when we're blessing. We're bringing words to reflect reality. And so when we bless, we're helping line someone up with God's truth about who they really are. And that is weighty and glorious and powerful and helps to effect change in a person. But it's not magic, and it's not our dreaming up something that we'd like to be and then thinking that somehow we can just parrot the right phrases and we end up getting it. Blessing, you know, is deeper than that.
It's so good, Pastor. And, you know, it kind of reminds me of what you started with, talking about the majesty of God and even about agreeing with God, about having enough reverence before God to discern even things that are in a person that they may not see themselves. I mean, I remember, you know, I mentor different young women at different times. I remember one that I was starting to mentor, and I just saw her, and I grabbed her shoulders, and I said, "Oh, I see such greatness in you." And she was in the middle of being shredded and hurt so bad in so many ways that she just couldn't even fathom But I could feel it in my spirit. I could see it on her. I could see the gifts in the midst of her wounding. And but there was a reverence about it, you know. And, you know, I used to speak prayerful blessings over my boys before they go out the door when they were little. I remember one time I had my hand on one of their heads and I was saying, you know, thanking God for the cool things that I saw, the good, the virtuous things. And just as a joke, I threw in there, and thank you, God, that he loves to read. And he pulls his head out from underneath me. He goes, I don't love to read. I go, I know, but a girl can pray, right? And it was just one of those funny moments. But anyway, but, you know, it was just because it was like, what? You know, we just both knew that I was talking out of turn a little bit. But yeah, anyway, go ahead.
I think of the intriguing story in the second chapter of Genesis where God brings the animals before Adam. And the text says to see what he would call them. That is an amazing statement. God brought the animals to see what Adam would call them. In other words, in paradise, before sin had clouded vision, God trusted Adam to name the animals properly. Before we fell into sin, you see, Adam and Eve knew what to call the animals. Adam didn't call a pig his wife or an ostrich his helpmate. You see, they knew what things were. But after sin came in the world, our eyes, our spiritual eyes, our eyes of our hearts are distorted. We don't see things properly. And so we sin caused people to call things what they're not, to the point that eventually Isaiah prophesied that people will call evil good and good evil. And so I think, Susie, all the force of hell just want us to call people by the wrong name. It's what happens on the playground when we're kids. It's like some kid calling another kid dumb. But the idea of hell is call him dumb long enough so that he believes it and underachieves. And so in a real sense, Jesus came, a second Adam, to restore our capacity to see who people really are. And Jesus never mislabeled anyone. And he came so we could name people for who they really are. And that's what you're saying. When you come into someone's life who's not seeing themselves the way God sees them, but you come in and you bring a word, you come and speak the word about who they really are, there's something very powerful about that. I think we're like a sculptor like Michelangelo used to say. He saw the figure in the stone. It was already there, and he's just calling it out. That's authentic.
Yeah. You know, I've mentioned this on the show, I think, a couple times, but with this dumb health relapse I had a couple months ago, I was, just to be honest, just sobbing. I can't live like this because these neurological symptoms were just kicking my rear end. And I was full of such despair. And my husband grabbed my shoulders. He looked me in the eye and he said, you listen here. He said, I have prayed for you. And he goes, I believe with everything in me, a day is coming. You're going to bound through your days with no symptoms, and you're going to get to the end of your day and realize, I never thought about health once. I never thought about sickness once. And it quickened in me, Pastor. It's like, so it wasn't true yet, but I knew that he was speaking on behalf of God. And shortly thereafter, inflammations just started to go down. And I would go 2-3 hour stretches with no symptoms and think, oh my goodness, this is actually happening. And I've been in a mode where I think I'm healing, actually. But something came alive when he said that, and I believe it. And I believed it was right from the Lord. Maybe speak a word about that, because there are times when it's not name it, claim it, but you are calling something that's not as though it were because you've heard from the Lord. I know that can get blurry, but there's something to that.
Absolutely. Well, and it is like blessings like seed. So when you sow a seed, it is not the thing that it's going to be yet, but it is the essence of it. So the smallest acorn that can fall into the ground, and you can look and see a giant oak tree one day. Well, you could see in faith the oak tree before it existed, but the seed that you're depositing, in a real sense, it has all of the content of the oak tree. It just hasn't yet fully manifested into that yet. And I think that's a big part we're doing. We sow seeds that are rooted in authentic discernment, real faith, spoken in accord with God's word, and not attempts at our own selfish types of magical ways of looking at the world. And when we do that, there is a mystery that's taking place, and we're told over and over, we reap what we sow. And I think that's just such encouragement to any listener right now. You've got someone in your life, you know, that you want to see change, and you're not called to control them. You're not called to shame them or manipulate them. But when you bless, you're sowing seeds. And big things with God almost always start small. And it might start totally imperceptible. You don't see it yet, but that doesn't mean it's not real as you're speaking it.
Love that. This dear listener says, why do you think it's so hard to bless others? I know I struggle with that. I find it much easier to criticize, and I'm also very hard on myself. First of all, I appreciate your honesty, friend. What do you say, Pastor?
It is interesting, isn't it, that it's not our default mechanism. It's not our instant tendency is just to bless someone. People struggle with this, and there are several reasons. The first is, if we have not been authentically blessed ourselves, it's very difficult to pass it on. So hurt people, shamed people, shame people, and blessed people, bless other people. The number one way that we can become more powerful in blessing others is to receive blessing ourselves and to not sabotage it, not block it, not say, oh, that's not for me, but to take it into your being and know how blessed you are. People who find themselves deeply blessed, they're the ones that really can bless other people. The other thing is just get over all of these wrong conceptions that we've been fed that if you bless someone, it's going to go to their head. Get past that and realize that, no, the way of God is that he doesn't withhold it. He gives it, and that brings about transformation in someone's life. Sometimes we just got to get convinced that it works. The other thing is, I think that sometimes it's just a little quicker to take a shortcut and to withhold it. And yeah, somebody will run a little faster and jump a little higher if you withhold your love, acceptance, and blessing. But just remember that it's like planting a poisonous seed inside of them. So I like to think of all of those things. And the final thing to say to that, Susie, is that I think we need to train ourselves in this. You know, anything that's true and good and right, it's worth training ourselves in. And so I spent a section in the book just talking about here's how you bless and here's how you can train yourself. I think it can just become a way of life. And I think after a while, you just realize it becomes my default reaction no matter what. And so train yourself up in it. Everything that's worth doing is worth practicing.
Come on. Amen. When we come back, I'm going to, if it's okay with you, Pastor, I'm going to ask you just to speak a blessing over maybe women who've not had that from their parents, from men, same thing. And then I have one particular elderly woman who listens, who's walking through a tough time right now. I'll describe her situation and see if you could speak a blessing over her as well.
Absolutely.
And friends, keep listening because I think God's got something. He's got a word of encouragement for you. Here coming up in a moment, talking to author Pastor Alan Wright. His beautiful book is The Power to Bless, How to Speak Life and Empower the People You Love. Scripture says you destroy yourself when you're cruel and your own soul is nourished when you're kind. What would happen if you each did what I asked, just this one thing, and you texted somebody a blessing? Start there. And as Pastor said, then start practicing. Make it a way of life. We'll be back in a minute. That nobody can gossip enough to God to make him change his mind about you. He's sold on the idea of you. Thanks for tuning in to Susie Larson Live, talking to our friend, author Pastor Alan Wright, about his amazing book, The Power to Bless, How to Speak Life and Empower the People You Love. We've got 5 copies to give away. Super grateful for that. You can text the word book to get in on the drawing, 877-933-2484. The pastor has had so many quotable quotes, but I got to repeat a couple of these. Listen to this one. All the forces of hell want us to call each other the wrong names. How happy is hell right now with what happens on social media and on news media? Think about that. All the forces of hell want us to call each other the wrong names. And then he says, you know what? It's not pride to agree with how splendidly God has made you. I love that so much. Okay, if you wouldn't mind, Pastor, just because that seems to pour right out of you, I'm thinking I've got actually a number of texts from women who've come in, texted in and just talked about how either a parent left or died, or they were under just emotional neglect. and lived kind of under the cloud of being unblessed. I'm wondering if you'd speak to the women listening today who need a blessing.
Yes, it's such a privilege to do so. And so often it's the absence of a father, the neglect of a dad, or sometimes, sadly, even the abuse that left the deep wound. And so it's a privilege, I'd say, to any woman listening now, if you would let me, in a real sense, stand in for that dad and hear it as words from a loving Heavenly Father that now comes through a human voice, a voice that God would have had be represented to you all throughout your life, but for whatever reason wasn't, but wants you to hear it now. And I think the more personally you can hear it, the better. And just during the break, I kept hearing the word freedom. You are safe in the love of God. And though I'm speaking to people I have not yet met, you're safe in my love. And I want you to hear that word, that you did not come into this world having to compete for love or try to earn your way to love. You came into the world loved by God. And I am sure that neither death nor life nor angels or rulers or things present or things to come nor any height nor depth nor anything in all creation could ever separate you from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. And so, child of God, woman of God, daughter of the Most High, hear his heart and hear it from me as I bless you, saying, in the name of Jesus, I love you and I thank God for you. And I feel that God wants you to know that you have been made for freedom, and that as surely as the sun dawned this morning, you are this day wholly new. You're alive for this moment, and your life is not defined by the past, because God's mercies are new every morning for you. Yesterday's losses and regrets and disappointments and failures do not define you. God is an innovator, and he's always making things creatively new. So I bless you to forget the former things. I bless you to see the new thing, as Isaiah prophesied. Now it springs forth. I bless your spiritual eyes to be able to see what God is doing in you now. And I say to you, daughter of God, you are not defined by the pain of the past. You're defined by the plans of God. And he has plans for you, not to harm you, but to give you a future and a hope. And he is at work even now in unseen ways to restore the fortunes of Jacob's tents and have compassion on his dwellings. And he intends to do a work of restoration. So I bless you this day to live in this moment from now on. No matter what you've missed in the past, here's the defining definition of your life. You are the daughter of a God who loves you perfectly. God bless you, child of God. God bless you.
Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. All right. So we also have some men who've texted in who live with a father wound. If you have it in you, if you'd speak to them, it would be wonderful.
You know, men want, we all yearn. We have this in common. We want to be fruitful. From the day we're little boys, you know, we're wanting to be able to shine. We're wanting to be able to make something that matters. We're wanting to have something that we can show for our lives. We're wanting to make a difference. We want to be fruitful, and we want to be productive, and we want to be successful. And it's not a bad word. Success is not a bad word. That's God's idea. It's just to be successful is not something to be idolized. And I bless you. I bless you right now, all the men listening, that you would know that God's love is set upon you regardless of your performance. There are one of two ways we're going to live, guys. It's either going to be we're secure and we're confident and we're joyful and we're playing this game for the fun of the game and we're making a difference, or we're going to be insecure and we're going to be trying to prove ourselves. And I want to bless you today saying you don't have to prove yourself. You don't have to merit any favor from God. You already have it all in Jesus Christ. And I bless you, therefore, even as he blessed Adam in the beginning, to be fruitful and to multiply and to fill the earth and subdue it and have dominion, meaning that in the field that God has given you, that what you plant, may it grow and flourish. You are a spiritual farmer, and you're making a difference in the world. The smallest seed can grow into the greatest tree, and I'm blessing you guys that you would know that you would know that you would know you're already accepted, so you can go and live life to the fullness just for the joy of making a difference. God's got more that he's going to do through you. I know he does, and I pray and bless you that you'll be able to see it.
Come on, somebody. Amen. Amen. You've got people texting in going, thank you from the bottom of my heart. Oh, I needed that. We just got a few minutes left, and this is a special listener. She's 88 years old. She was raised in a pretty abusive, legalistic home, and with so much shame and really a lot of craziness. And she came out of that and just became an incredible mom and wife and grandma. And she's a woman who spends a lot of time on her knees, but she still has this. She's unsure about her safe place in the Father's heart. She loves him so much. But I get the sense as I correspond that she still has to earn it somehow. And I'm wondering if you could speak to her safe place in the Father's heart.
Child of God, the favor of the Lord is upon you. That's what I hear in my spirit. Dear saintly woman of God, walking with him for all of those years, the favor of the Lord is upon you. It's unmerited. It's really hard when in our earliest times, when we're meant to be attaching in love by the joy that we see on others' faces when they look at us, when that gets missed and what you've seen is the look of disappointment on someone's face, it comes and becomes part of the way the brain thinks and looks. And so it's okay that it's been a difficult journey. It's okay that at times that the old shame still rears its head. That's going to happen. The temptation to that will be there. But I want to say, beloved, in Christ, you, according to Colossians 1, are fully qualified for your inheritance in the saints. You're not lesser than. You're not made to be more than others. You are the very apple of God's eye, because he has already reckoned to you the perfect righteousness of Jesus. And that means that no matter what you feel, you're under the favor of God, and that's not going to change. You can count on it, and you can delight in it. And I just want to say on behalf of a dad that maybe never said it, you are a delight to dance with. You are a shining, bright light. You make the room brighter when you're in it. And that's what I feel like that some father needed to say, and I want to say it to you on his behalf. I just delight. That's what I keep hearing, Susie, in my spirit, to dance with you, daughter, is a celebration no matter your age, because Jesus has given his all that we would be with God forever. Praise his name.
Well, praise his name indeed. Well, I happen to know what you just said was so deeply prophetic and profound and very personal and just on point. So thank you for that. I know you pour out a lot, and we're all together, listeners and myself included. We're praying that God pours back into you, Pastor, for what you poured out for us today. So many were ministered today. You just wish you could see the text line of people being, I needed that. I needed that. Thank you. Thank you for the time. We wish you and pray God's best to you, dear friend.
Such an honor. God bless you, my dear friend, Susie. God bless you.
Mm-hmm. Until our next conversation, I'm going to read one more excerpt out of Pastor's book. When we bless, we partner with God to release the essence of his adopting love. Until we're blessed, we're like spiritual orphans looking for assurance. But when we are authentically blessed, it's like being adopted. We know for sure that we're loved. When we are blessed, we become secure. When we become secure, we soar. So be a blesser. And I pray God puts people in your path to speak to you the way God the Father wants to speak to you. You are his prized possession. I pray you found some encouragement here today. We'll meet you back here next time. Thanks for listening to this conversation from Susie Larson Live. These podcasts are available because of listener support. You can become a supporter now at myfaithradio.com. And thanks for sharing this audio link to spread the good news of the gospel and to grow the impact of the show. Also, if you would, take a moment to subscribe to the podcast today at Apple Podcasts or your favorite podcast player, and never miss a show.